Good morning. Welcome to Witness Radio program, Know Your Land and Environmental Rights. My name is Rita Babilie, and I welcome you to this new episode of Know Your Land and Environmental Rights. I'm so glad that you tuned to Witness Radio. Thank you for each endeavor that you're doing to make sure that you listen to Witness Radio. Well, just a recap of what we discussed in our previous episode. We discussed about how to do due diligence before purchasing or leasing land. And our council was taking us through these things that we should actually take note or be critical and analyze such things before we buy land. She talked of verify land ownership and title validity. Check the land title, confirm the name of the title, cross-check with the cadastral maps and all that. That was step number one. Step number two, she talked about conduct a title search for the land registry. Number three, she talked to verify land use and zoning regulations. That was step number four. And step number three, sorry. And step number four, inspect the land physically. Go there in person. She was so, she emphasized this point. You should go there as a person. Don't conduct such procedures over the phone. This and this, hello, I'm this and this, when you haven't actually checked out what's going on the ground. So make sure you do all that. Number five, engage the local community and leaders. Speak to the neighbors. They can tell you what's going on in that area. Consult the local authorities. For example, the LC1 and the LC2 or the district land office. Confirm the customary land claims. Yes, that was under step number five. Step number six, review the seller's or leaser's background. Know the person that you're dealing with, because some people are not easy. They are difficult. Yeah, they are very difficult when it comes to land matters. And so many people have actually fallen victim of such people. They are scam. People are scam. They will scam you and, yeah, you go back to the village. So, make sure you do this. Step number seven, draft and sign a legal agreement. Engage a lawyer. Some of you don't want to engage lawyers in these agreements because you think they will ask for money. Definitely, if you want something good, you always have to pay a price for it. You always have to pay a price for it. So instead of you losing your land in the future, better spend now or make an effort to make sure you can afford a lawyer so that things work out well with you. Step number eight, process land transfer and registration. Obtain consent from relevant authorities. Pay stamp duty. URA, you have to make sure you also pay them. Register the new owner. All that. Lastly, secure the land after purchase. Make sure you mark your territory. For example, fence the land. Yeah, you can put demarcations on your land to make sure nobody encroaches on it. Yeah, otherwise you have bought it for somebody else. Well, for those that missed, you can go back to our YouTube channel and review whatever that you missed in that episode and that you need to learn more about. Today we are going to another brand new topic, which is land grabs and their impacts. We all know what land grabs are. It has been I don't have the clear word to say this, but it has been so rampant nowadays. People are grabbing land, especially the local communities. They always grab their land because they are ignorant of the law. So today we want to look at land grabs and their impacts. Which impacts do they bring? But I'd like to welcome Councillor Joan Bulirali to say hi to us.
Hi, Rita.
I'm okay, Joan. How are you?
I'm okay. It's not bad to greet you on air for the second time.
Okay.
Hi, everyone out there. Hope you're doing well. To our dear listeners, we'd love to thank you for staying tuned in. For staying tuned into Witness Radio, please keep it up. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joan. Councillor Joan, we are going in for a short break. We shall be right back.
Farmers, do you want to learn essential agricultural practices and benefit from your land? Look no further. Tune in to Witness Radio for expert knowledge and guidance. Do development projects or land evictions affect your community? Share these experiences with us on Witness Radio. In Uganda, land is a valuable resource that is necessary for everyone to survive and flourish. So it is equally crucial to comprehend the land laws and policies about its appropriate usage. To learn more, tune in to Witness Radio.
Welcome back from that short break. As I told you, it's going to be a very short one. And we are going to skip to that part of starting the topic.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you'd like to join the conversation on 07-4596-5765, join the conversation so that if you have any questions, please send them in so that, yeah, we can get to answer you back. Councillor, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Like Rita said, today we'll be focusing more on land grabs and their impacts. If you've been following how you've been running this thing, initially we first took you through the land laws governing land management in Uganda, and then we took you through when you're transacting, how do you do it in a safe way so that you do not suffer risks of being defrauded or maybe illegal evictions out of the fact that probably you acquired your land in a way that is not proper, that makes you vulnerable to evictions and all that. So today we are looking at land grabs and their impacts. When you talk about land grabs, what are they? What impact do they have to the citizens of Uganda that are victims of what? Land grabbing. Basically, we'll start by defining land grabs. It refers to where people's land is actually taken away from them illegally. Like maybe a company can, or a government or multinational companies or development banks or whatever, they could come and it could be through compulsory land acquisition or in another way, when it's not that, because it's the government's compulsory land acquisition, or a company can come and say to evict people off their land or grab their land without following due procedure. Where probably they do not have a court order and they have not compensated people as the Land Acquisition Act stipulates. So this is where people's land is taken illegally without, and whoever takes it does not follow due process to actually acquire that land, where you have to talk to people, they must know prior consent from people, sit down, must be willing, buyer willing, seller thing. Mm. The compensation must be adequate, things like that.
Mm.
If it is a project, then you talk about how it's supposed to benefit the people that actually are to stay in the community. And you must make sure to also compensate people very well, because we expect each project that comes to a community is meant to develop, not to leave them in a worse state.
Mm.
So basically, land grabs involves acquiring land tracts. It involves acquiring large tracts of land, frequently for agriculture, mining, industrial, or infrastructure purposes. These transactions are often rapid and involve minimal participation or consent from local communities. Like I said, they carry them out illegally without prior consent from the owner.
The owner.
Of the land. Which is really illegal. And it is so sad that we have the laws that actually protect people from illegal evictions, but practically, what happens on the ground is very different, especially if the eviction involves the government or if the company has backup from the government. That's another story. So which actors are involved in land grabs? These are initiated by state institutions, private corporations, often with foreign investment or financial institutions seeking profitable ventures. Like you find people wanting land to carry out agricultural projects on a large scale. Like now we see the sugar cane that is eating Mavira Forest. In Chirianongo, we see Chirianongo sugar eating still that evicted people. We have Aglis that is dealing with maize, sunflower, and what that
The coconut. The tree we planting.
Have palm oil in with,
yeah.
So, such projects. We have Ecop, I don't know, that also is a bit.
Wende, Mobende.
Yeah. With petroleum and oil. So, basically, there are many reasons as to why people are being evicted. So policy, which policy and legal, what's the cause according to the policies and legal, what are the legal loopholes that we have that are actually making it possible for evictions to happen? The first thing, the loopholes we have in the legal system is the weak legal system, insufficient land registration processes. Many people settling on land that is not legally, like they don't have the legal interests on the land. You get, like you find people, because, okay, let me give an example of people in Chirandongo that were evicted. These are people that were settled on that land, some of them by the government, because they had issues wherever they were. Like the ones that came from Bududa, then there are those ones that came because of the wars and all that. But they came and settled on that land for a very long time. But the only challenge we have is for those that came in, because now usually when to be termed as a bona fide occupant, you must come, you must settle on that land before, 10 years before they come into
the constitution. Yeah.
And now here we are talking about already the president is in and we have a constitution.
Yeah.
But those people have been on that land for almost 30 years, 20. And the government gives you that, but you do not have a legal document to show that the government actually assigned us this what. And to make matters worse, it is still that same government that gave you the land that is conniving with the company to take the land.
To take the land, yes.
How are you going to fight such a case? Like, you expect the government to give you backup and say, yes, I gave those people land. But it's the same government that is selling this land off to a company. So in most cases, you find you want to help people, but they do not have that legal documentation that you can use in court. You get to challenge the opposition. So that is the challenge you have, like insufficient land registration processes, ambiguous land tenure rights create an environment in which land grabs can occur with limited accountability. So basically, the weak legal systems and the fact that we have insufficient land registration processes are actually the reasons as to why there is also, or they contribute to the fact that there is an increase in land evictions in what? In Uganda.
And who is there to oversee these loopholes? Like, why is not anyone seeing these loopholes?
We are. Even organizations are seeing.
And
they're trying. But like we said, practically, especially when the things involve the government, where it looks at the profitable bit of these projects rather than looking at
the impact or
how it affects their citizens, is now the challenge we have. Because if there are many amendments in laws that have happened, many organizations are actually helping out citizens to make sure, like LEMU and also WR has now started it. Helping out, when I talk about WR, I'm talking about this organization, Witness Radio. So WR is in short form of Witness Radio. We are also coming up with an initiative of actually helping out people to register their interests on land. Though we started with it says sensitizing them on how to do it. You get? Because it's not like we can reach out to all of them and move from one committee to another. So even us giving you knowledge to know how to register, we actually help you out to get your legal interest. That is if you put what we have taught you in action, So they are trying. Organizations have done advocacy campaigns to that effect to make sure people's land rights are respected. But the government and the level of commercialization of land, things are a bit different. When the government sees profit in a project, there's nothing you're going to tell it. And to make matters worse, they have a right under compulsory land acquisition. So, to some extent, I feel like, yes, I understand. It's what they say now. We have a right to, for the benefit of the community, we can compensate you. But the worst bit of it is, usually, they do not want to compensate people.
Mm-hmm.
Or they under compensate them. They do not give them the actual money they're supposed to give them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you're supposed to give the person money that takes them in that same place. If you phone me in Entebbe, you must compensate me and I must be able to get land in Entebbe. But they compensate the pan union Entebbe and the money they give you can only enable you to get land in Masaka. You get
It's sad.
Semi-urban.
It's sad. Council, to the look of things, do you see any way forward in this? Yes, organizations have seen these loopholes. Do you see any way forward? Have you seen changes? Yes, they have seen them. What have they done? To your perception, do you think these organizations are being hopeful and they are building way forward?
They are really being hopeful. The only reason as to why actually we are, because they're putting a lot of effort. They have sensitized people about their land rights. Some organizations have gone far to the level of actually enabling those people to register their interests in land. And when you look at the different amendments in policies that have been that have come up because of the advocacy campaigns that are coming from different organizations, you'd find that people's rights are being they're kind of trying to bridge the gap that used to lack. You get. Women are respected. Before we could, government would just take people, evict people off the land without compensation. These days we have compulsory land acquisition where someone has to be compensated.
Okay.
So they are trying, there is an effort. But the thing is, the people that are supposed to help implement, leaving us out, because it starts from the people themselves. The first challenge we have been having is the level of illiteracy. The laws are in English.
Mm-hmm.
People don't just get it. We get.
Mm.
They don't know. People are ignorant about their laws, their rights, because they are ignorant about the law. They don't know what the law says, even because they cannot read. They have no access to such laws. You get. Because some of these statutes are expensive for someone in a rural area to acquire. And the fact that they're in English, in a language that people don't understand, also affects them in one way or another. At the level of poverty also, you find it's a long process of registration and what. And some people, when they look at things, they don't have that money. And also do not know where to start from to register. So that is why organizations come up with these things of they have to sensitize people about the land rights. It would be prudent. I haven't seen an organization that wants to translate these laws to Uganda, but I wish I had one. It would make a lot of sense.
Okay.
So that people can understand what the laws provide for them when it comes to their rights. If they would go to Jinja, translate in Lusoga. Let them go to Karamoja, translate that, Uganda. But even if they did in Uganda, apart from people coming from the north, I think, and still some of them also understand. It's kind of like a familiar language for everybody. But if they could put an initiative to translate this language to a language that everybody
understands.
Because usually, if you to look at things, the people that are mostly being affected with land evictions are illiterate. They don't know their rights. They don't know what the law says. They're scared of even approaching lawyers or organizations because they think maybe they'll need money. I don't have money to give them, things like that.
No.
So the effort is there, but the people that were supposed to enforce these laws, the government would, the parliament would, the police would, these are the people conniving with the people evicting people off the land.
Mm.
So that's a challenge we're having.
Even those that are actually aware of the laws and they know their rights, they are criminalized.
Exactly.
Arrested and criminalized. Once the government notices, this person might be having some knowledge.
You're anti-government.
Yeah. We going to start from that when we come back from the break.
Oina amawulire agakwata ku kibattaka. Oba waliwo gw'omanyi ng'agobeddwa ku ttaka. Oba ng'ebintu bye byonooneddwa olw'enkaayana z'ettaka. Oba ekibanja. Tegeeza Witness Radio ng'oyita ku ssimu zaffe namba 0491 497221 oba eya WhatsApp 0745 965 765. Nandiki ensonga ziroope butereevu ku kibanja kyaffe ekya Witness Radio ku www.witnessradio.org. Laba ku mmapu eraga abantu n'ettaka eritwaliddwa era ojja kulaba ekigambo Report Eviction awoloopa. Bw'oba ogobeddwa ku ttaka, bw'omala noonya ekitundu kyo gy'obeera ku mmaapu eno, onyige ku kitundu kyo gy'obeera ku mmaapu, kireete akatonyeza akalangi emmyufu, olwo okanyigeko. Jjuza ffoomu eyo, onyige safe okutereka by'ojjuzza. Teekamu ekifaananyi eky'ekitundu ky'ettaka eribbiddwa. Nyiga upload ng'osindikirako ekifaananyi.
Oyagala kweyongera kukuguka mu mateeka agakwata ku ttaka? Ganyulwa mu program za Witness Radio osomesebwe batya bw'osobola okukuuma ettaka lyo okuva mu mikono gy'abannakigwanyizi. Oli mulwanirizi wa ddembe, oyagala amaloboozi g'ebitundu oba abantu b'olwanirira gatuuke ku bavunaanyizibwa? Weekwate radio y'abantu, Witness Radio. Wuliriza Witness Radio mu kitundu kyo ng'ekulambululira ensonga ezinyiga abantu. Wulirizanga Witness Radio okumanya enkulaakulana y'ettaka nga tekosa bantu mu bitundu mweteekeddwa oba obutonde bw'ensi.
From that short commercial break, first of all, I would like to thank you for you are still tuned to Witness Radio. Because, you know, the moment somebody says I'm going in for a break, people always find a way of diverting their mind to something else. But I'm so glad that you're still tuned to Witness Radio. Yes. Yeah. So I'm really very humbled with that gesture. So as I said, for those that want to join the conversation, that WhatsApp number that I read to you, and I'll still repeat it, send in the comments and send in the questions that you need to know or any information that you need to know so that our council here can get a way of answering them. And those that are facing land grabs, you can call us on 041-46-97221. That is for direct calls. Yes. We are still moving on with the land grabs and their impacts. So far, before we went for the break, we had talked about the policy and legal loopholes, and we've seen what is entailed in there.
Hope it was really, we kind of relaxed a bit because this kind of program, since we be learning, no, since we be sensitizing, we look, it looks like sometimes we are in class. So when we are kind of sensitizing you, sometimes you use brains, you have to concentrate. Now, right now, the next thing we are going to look at is when you talk about land grabs, how do they affect people economically? The economic impacts of land grabs. First of all, there is disruption of traditional agriculture because land that that local communities have used for generations for farming and grazing is repurposed for large-scale commercial ventures, often displacing smallholder farmers. So as we look at things, like let's give an instance, like as of now, because when you talk about usually when these people are, when they need land for special agriculture, it is rare for them to plant things like maybe cassava, you know, food crops. It is rare for them to plant things like matoke. Usually they're going for things like maize, things like sugarcane. Aya, sunflower, you get. So you find that the level, or there is a worry for food insecurity for the future generation. Because basically, I mean, and this like people used to grow their food at home, even beside their gardens and what, and they would be able to take care of their family.
Yes.
You get. So this is something that is no longer happening now because people's land has been taken and they do not have land to do, carry out agriculture. You get. So it is very, very, very hard for them to, like, it is becoming worrying when it comes. That's why sometimes food is very expensive these days. Very expensive.
Yeah, very expensive. And the fact that people are driven out of their land, there is no way they can grow food.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So the level of food security is very worrying with the future generation.
Yeah, and so, the demand is high.
Yeah, because it's single day, like the level at which women are giving birth. I don't get it, especially in the village. I don't know also. I don't know if people, men even, I don't know what they be thinking. Are they giving birth for the government or what? I don't get it. I don't know. Maybe because they don't have like what to do and they spend most of their time at home. So I think each single time they are free, the only thing they think about is making babies. So the population is becoming higher and higher. And yet people's land is being grabbed. So where are these children going to settle in the first place? You get? Which food will they feed on? Because if we are putting focus on commercial, on cash crops, which food are these kids going to eat? That's the problem we have. Loss of economic autonomy is another impact. Communities may be deprived of a critical asset that underpins their local economy, leading to reduced agricultural outputs and food security. Some of them even used to actually, you know, sell harvests for those crops and take care of their kids in one or another. Yes, which is now impossible because, yes, their land is being taken away. And you find someone like when we used to work, when we worked on that case for Kawala, for Chirandongo, or even Mubende, you would interview someone says, I had 20 acres. You get, but the person was never compensated, but given this, how transport, I should say. So how do you expect that person to survive again? Because if you have not given them even money to buy, an acre. Because the best they do is to give them money that can actually help them acquire maybe a plot of land. But this, you're giving it to someone who was used to planting his food, on something like 20 acres.
And that food was both for domestic and cash.
Exactly. So you're basically destroying his source of income beyond measures. You get? Yeah, which is really unfair. There's also a shift in revenue streams. Income that previously calculated within the local economy can be routed to multinational corporations and distant investors, reducing local reinvestment and economic growth. Like, basically, let's give an instance of when you talk about, let's say, Bidico. Or let's talk about the companies that the Chinese that come to do whatever that they want, or Indians, and then people are evicted off their land just for those Indians or whatever to carry, like New Forest Company in Mubende. You think the money they, because now you find that even the trees they plant, they are exporting to different countries.
Of course.
You think that money is really going to benefit Uganda? This is a Chinese guy that registered land. Okay, registered a company through his wife. Yeah, his Ugandan wife.
Yeah.
So company. Do you think really this Chinese will actually, Uganda will benefit more than maybe China or something in another way?
Apart from getting the, how do they call them, tariffs. Good that they get when they're exporting.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, even employing your fellow Ugandans to work in those companies is also a problem. If they're employed, they will give them these minimal jobs of carry logs from here to there.
Yeah,
where they pay them 10,000. I mean, like you're literally leaving people in a state of poverty 24/7. You get?
Yeah.
Which is really not, there will not be economic growth in Uganda if we just keep to that level. So there's also market distortion, land grabs often fuel speculative markets, inflating land prices and making it more difficult for locals to afford or access land. You see, let's imagine long ago, to get a piece of land in a Nasala.
Yeah.
Even if you would get it at 2 million. Piece of land, let's say 50 by 100 or something. 3 million, 2 million, 4 million.
Mm.
Right now, locomotive your body there with that 2 million. You will not get anything called land. The 10 million, they will start by telling you we have 20 by 30 or 30 by 20, things like that.
Mm.
Very small pieces of land. So land is becoming very expensive.
Very, very expensive, especially in the central region.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people cannot, it makes it hard for people to buy land these days. In fact, it is for those that did not buy those days, to buy land right now is becoming very hard. Things are very expensive. Very, very expensive. So now, all these are as a result of land grabs and commercializing land, you know? Mm. We also have, while investors may see short-term returns, the long-term degradation of land and loss of local usage rights can undermine sustainable economic development. So for them, they're just looking at this short-term, like we need profits and blah, blah. But they're not looking at how is it going to benefit the future generation that is coming. That's what we're talking about.
Mm.
That sustainable economic development. How are we going to benefit? So economically, that is how it is actually affecting, land grabs affecting people in Uganda. And that is just a few. I cannot finish all of them.
Yeah. But so the local things, I think the people that give them allowance, that give them the authority and the power to come and actually intrude on people's land and do whatever or establish whatever they want to establish in that place, they're the only beneficiaries.
Exactly.
Because the moment they get that money, they like the rest it's up to them. The rest it's up to these people that have been given power and in which they use their power to oppress
exactly
the locals. So literally, this does not benefit a local individual or a citizen of Uganda in any way, apart from suffering.
People have suffered.
Even getting jobs. I was looking at this case of Movende,
mm.
and they had told them they will employ them to gand work.
Mm.
But those people come with their own workers.
Exactly.
Come with their own workers to work in that place, leaving out those that are settling in. Yeah, the locals. And actually, the ones that have been evicted without even proper compensation.
Exactly.
So
talking, even in Kawala here, we were working with certain guests and we kind of told the party that we were with in that mediation, we told them if the company would actually offer some employment to the youth. Up to now, you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they see these are projects that have come to develop the country. What are you developing? What are you doing? We are the country. What are you developing? Because if we are not developed as citizens of Uganda, what are you doing? I mean, we must be see change as we. Like we had an argument with I had an argument with my boy. He's in Form 6 at home.
Mm.
And then I looked at the other boy, I was like, I don't know where we are going. I was telling him, you know, the truth is the government has actually forgotten about its people and is just focused on money. And he's like, why would you say that? The government is working. I don't know how you want it to work. We are a developing country, so we cannot just jump. I told him, this government and the one for Rwanda, which one came first? But you saw Rwanda developed?
Yeah.
I told him, my dear, I don't know what you're talking about. If I am paying 400,000 per year per month, and I still pay electricity, like there's nothing I'm getting for free on my money that they chop every month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how am I benefiting from that money they chop? I used to just leave it for me, probably. I wouldn't be complaining. Like, you chop my 400, but I pay rent. Okay, rent, it is understandable. Like, the government cannot afford to pay for everybody.
Rent, where
to sleep.
Yeah, yes.
But other countries where someone is very poor, they can. You're paying water. We pay electricity. You're paying school fees for everything. You go to the hospital, you pay everything you're paying.
Yes.
Where is my money going? I asked him, where is my money going? What? Accountability.
Yes.
Where is the 400 going?
Exactly.
Every month?
Accountability. Where is the money going? And after, I've been thinking, after those people have paid the government to give them access to the land, because when they say it's government land, or at times when there is need for land acquisition for the good, because they say in that act it says the government can evict.
Yes.
If what it's going to do is going to benefit the public.
Yes.
Or it's in the interests of the public. How on earth has it turned around? And where is that money going? After they've been paid, where has that money gone? Where?
Even, okay, let's say, even if they say these companies are actually paying revenue in one way or another, where is the revenue going?
I don't know.
Well, at least we would have a free service. Eh? Like, okay, let's not pay water or electricity. One of those. And I'll be like, I think, okay, maybe all the taxes are going. Like, but seriously, we are paying for everything. Even when you're buying something at the shop, you're paying. And
I hear that MPs have, like, their salary is going to be increased.
For what?
To 70 million.
You see, that's where our money is going. Because they want
I'm not
to
sure, but
want,
I hear.
They want to bribe them. Because God. Now there is something they want them to agree to. You can imagine.
There. Because we are nearing elections. Uganda, my motherland.
We have suffered. Like, this is too much. Mm. I don't even know what you're going to do about it. So, speaking about, that is how we are discussing about how land grabs have affected people economically. And now I think we are going to be discussing about how it affects us socially and the agricultural impacts of land grabs to the citizens of Uganda. So, land grabs frequently lead to forced evictions where families and communities are uprooted, leading to social dislocation. Displacement not only breaks down social network, but also erodes the traditional knowledge and cultural identity associated with the land. Let me give an example. Bududa is in
Mbale.
Mm. Okay, now like, okay, because for them it's not, we cannot say because they evicted them or what, they had their own issues according to the climate.
Yeah,
what.
Floods.
Yeah.
Mm.
But those people are good at dancing, circumcision.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm.
How do they call them in college in Uganda? Mm. In Uganda.
In Mbalu.
Mm. Yes, that circumcision dance in Mbalu in Uganda. So imagine to them that side, like it's, you know that they enjoy it more than when they do it for this side they do it.
Mm.
But the level of enjoyment
in their motherland
is far different than when they do it in Kampala.
Mm.
Because almost the whole community will be running after, dancing, of which here, a few will dance and some will look at you as a weird person. You get?
Mm.
They
can arrest you for common nuisance here in Kampala.
Because people will be following you up and all that. So there are people, how do they call them? People that, the Karamojongs that do not want to put on clothes.
Mm.
There is a time we went to Karamoja, and the guy was seated, and I touched my head. I'm like, "What's happening?" I literally see through.
Those people don't wear clothes.
They don't
just get some wrappers around there.
Not one, not two. We were all in a meeting.
Especially
to
men,
make matters
right?
worse, our eyes would go straight through. So we kept on looking at each other. We're like,
especially men.
Yeah, yes. We looked at each other like, what's happening? Like, everyone like, what's happening? Like, we almost wanted to tell them, please sit well, but we could not. We're like, we try to look the other way.
This eye, you cannot change.
Yes. So imagine those people are displaced from there. Because now there are people are used to seeing those things. I mean, that's, yeah. They sit and their user like, okay, that is normal. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they brought them to Kampala here. And they've been evicted. Now they need to settle somewhere. So now they have to look for land around Kampala. But they're not used to dressing up.
Mm.
Yeah, see, they got some plot of land. They don't have clothes yet. They want to actually keep on with their culture of wrapping themselves around.
Mm.
And then Kampala, like four of them sit like that. In their compound where people are. Do you know what would happen? You would see TikTok. People complaining, you see, our children.
Yeah.
So that is what we talk about, whereby people you lose social network. Like in another way, also, it can also happen in a way whereby, let's say you have a business, like you've been doing your business. Okay, let me say, let us say, okay, you've been practicing agriculture. You get.
Mm.
But where you are, there is a highest level of that product. There's demand on market for that product you're selling.
Mm.
And you've already mapped out your customers very well. And then the next thing you know is there's this company that wants to evict you. To settle again wherever you're going and map up those customers again is a challenge. Can it take you 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're talking about. So there's also lots of social cohesion. The removal of entire community can create conflict and excavate social tension, particularly when communities lose communal land that once served as the cornerstone of their culture and social identity.
Mm.
What we have been talking about. People are used to pastoralism. Your government wakes up in the morning and says, the whole of Karamoja up to here. And then where would they rear their cows from? You get nowhere. So those are all challenges that people are facing, and the government needs to look at before trying to evict people off the land over profits.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, what they should have done is, if these investors want to come, let them teach the locals how to do what they want to do. Let us go with the how to grow a thing. You get.
Mm.
Like the way Okalangala is doing. I'm not saying they're doing a good job, no. But look, like, I'm just giving an example.
Mm.
They have outgrowers who do palm oil.
Mm.
But the more you grow palm oil on your land, the more it loses fertility. So what if just in the near future, Bidiko is like, you have gone. Or you die and then your kids feel like, we no longer want to do this.
Mm.
And then they try to grow food on the land, nothing. What are you going to do? You've been heaven seeing your kids crying, dying of hunger. Yet you're the reason.
Yeah.
You get. So when you look at things, I don't know what the government thinks about, but if it would say, just like there's a time when they wanted to do monopoly when it comes to coffee exportation. You know, there are things the government does and you're like, is the president a Ugandan or? I didn't want to speak it out.
Is
he Ugandan or? Because sincerely speaking, you can't evict people off land because someone needs land to grow maize.
Mm.
But the people that have been settling on that land have also been growing
maize.
Why don't you tell these investors, deal with these community members? They'll grow the maize and sell to you. In that way, you're developing the community.
Yeah.
You're improving on their financial stability. Why would you do that? You evict people to plant something, which something has been planted. Because even if they wanted it on a large scale, do you know that if, let's say, like the way it is in Chiranongo, if they woke up in the morning and Agri said, I am giving this much money for someone who is growing this kind of maize, you know that, like, okay, Even if they said an acre, 5 million, you know how many people would plant?
So many.
And it would still come out the way it is.
Mm.
But now they use even very funny chemicals that are even affecting our soil. It affects people's health. So it really breaks my heart. But to me, I think it would be better for the government to tell the investors, whatever you want to do, do it with the community members.
Mm.
Because like they're chasing us, like trying to evict villages, trying to evict. But it's not like the country is expanding.
Yeah, it's not.
But the population is what?
Increasing.
Where are we going to get land to settle? It is the same land, but the population is increasing.
Yeah.
And this land, you keep on chasing people as you put different projects, however you want. Where are your people going to stay? Where will they settle? Where are they going to settle? Because if you would assure us that, okay, Uganda is also expanding, it would make a lot of sense. But now that it's not expanding, and for us, we are still giving birth to as many children as we can, because there's no limitation as to how many children you should give birth to.
Mm.
So how are you going to, like, are we not just looking at the future? Are we being like, are we just looking at the present? Are we not hoping the best for the citizens of Uganda? Because there are reach a time where someone can never have an acre of land in Uganda. Well, we all have to have plots, because there will be limited land for people.
Yeah. Mm.
We'll all have start having now plots, because land is being used for commercial things. And you know that we have people that are living in refugee camps.
Yeah,
I'm citizens aware. Of Uganda. So someone like your parents bought land, your parents died, you are given birth on that land, grew up on that land.
Mm.
You grew up, you gave birth to children, and then someone has the audacity to come and say, I need that land.
Yeah.
Without compensation. The next thing you see, you find yourself in a refugee camp. Like, really? And then there are those that actually, like, the time we went and we visited some that they did evict from Mwene, and they were in a camp. So they were in a camp, and they had even changed their names to Congolese names because they wanted to get some food to eat.
Mm.
So that is how sad it is. But
yeah, it's actually really very sad.
Something that is not really good and doesn't sound sweet to our ears, especially us that are dealing in land rights. It really breaks our hearts. So thank you for today.
Okay, thank you so much, Councilor John. If you want to get more of this, kindly join us every time we are having this program. This program is always there on Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday. That is for the English version at 10 a.m. Repeat is at 5 p.m. And for the Luganda version, it is on Monday, Wednesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Repeat at 5 p.m. You've been a wonderful audience from all the way. Thank you so much for listening to Witness Radio. Until next time, have a great day.